Welcome to S&C Critical Insights. Our topic is best practices for boards in supporting companies through bankruptcy. I'm Mark Trevino, and I'm accompanied by my partner, Melissa Sawyer. Together, we chair Sullivan & Cromwell's corporate governance practice. Since the onset of the pandemic, a historic number of name brand companies have filed for bankruptcy protection. From iconic department stores to entertainment giants, only limited sectors of the economy have been spared. These situations provide opportunities and pitfalls for directors, most of whom will not have had experience that is even tangentially relevant. Melissa and I are going to provide an introduction to some of these areas today. Melissa, why don't you start? Corporate governance landscape changes a lot once a company is in bankruptcy, but bankruptcy doesn't happen overnight. What does that landscape look like for directors of corporations in the lead up to a bankruptcy filing?
Thanks, Mark. Well, on a clear day when a corporation is solvent, it is a fundamental premise of Delaware law that the directors of the corporation owe their fiduciary duties to the corporation and its stockholders. And for Delaware corporations, the fundamental premise doesn't change just because the corporation may be operating in the so-called zone of insolvency. So in other words, the directors of a company that is experiencing a liquidity crisis but is not yet insolvent do not owe their fiduciary duties to the corporation's creditors. So this means that even when a corporation is in the zone of insolvency, the directors can make decisions to protect the interests of stockholders, even if those decisions would cause the creditors to sustain losses. However, as soon as the corporation actually becomes insolvent, the board's fiduciary duties are to all of the corporation's residual claimants. So the creditors do become beneficiaries of the director's duties at that point. And this means, among other things, that the creditors have standing to file derivative claims against the directors for breaches of fiduciary duties.
So if directors owe their duties to stockholders and not creditors when the company is in the zone of insolvency, are there things that directors should be doing during this time?
I really hesitate to give blanket rules to directors because every company is different. Every fact pattern is different. So there's really no one size fits all guidebook for what directors have to do in any particular situation. At the end of the day, they really have to exercise their business judgment. But I think there are some things that directors may want to consider, and these may seem a bit obvious, but first and foremost, given that they're going to have to make some pretty critical, time-sensitive decisions in what is likely to be a fast-moving and high-stress situation, they need to be informed about the situation and the key risks that the corporation is facing. So usually that's a matter of receiving pretty regular updates from management and in some cases also outside advisors, which could include information about the company's cash position and financial projections. But some directors also like to understand how the situation will impact other stakeholder groups like employees as well. Second, this may be a good time for directors to revisit their pre-existing strategic plans to see if they have any significant expenditures that can be postponed and whether there are any steps the company can take to secure its cash position, such as drawing on lines of credit or divesting assets. And then third, since companies in the zone of insolvency may also be vulnerable to activism and hostile takeover attempts, directors may want to review with management the company's defensive profile and consider whether they need to take any steps to address their vulnerability, such as adopting a short-term shareholder rights plan. It's not that they should be taking strategic alternatives off the table at this point, but they should try to make sure that the board retains a little negotiating leverage vis-a-vis potential counterparties.
I guess while we're talking about the zone of insolvency, we should note that there's not a bright line test for when a corporation becomes insolvent. Directors should know that to determine solvency, courts generally rely on three tests: failing any one means that a company isn't solvent anymore. The first is the balance sheet test, whether the company's assets are more than its liabilities. Second, the cash flow test, whether the company has enough liquidity to meet its obligations when they become due. And third, the unreasonably small capital test. Importantly, what you do know is that the point at which a company becomes insolvent will be judged only in hindsight. We also don't know how the pandemic, which is arguably a truly singular event, may affect how courts approach insolvency determinations or how they consider their related creditor rights and directors' obligations. Melissa, did you want to talk a little bit about the nature of the duties of directors in bankruptcy?
Well, Mark, thank you. That's actually a softball question in a way, because the one thing we do know is that the actual fiduciary duties of directors do not change in bankruptcy. They continue to be the duties of care and good faith, which is just the situation outside of bankruptcy. And if those duties are fulfilled, decisions by directors generally will be protected by the business judgment rule. And there's a very interesting case from 2002, which I know was a while ago, but it's still good law. It's called Global Crossing, which confirmed that the bankruptcy courts will not second guess directors who have acted with the requisite care, disinterestedness, and good faith in an effort to maximize value.
I guess that does raise a couple of pitfalls for directors that we should touch on before we finish. First, with respect to business judgment protection, although a bankruptcy filing protects the company from litigation, it does not protect directors. Directors can continue to be sued, and fortunately, the ability of the company to protect them through indemnification becomes severely limited in bankruptcy by a specific section in the code. As a result, well-advised companies purchase D&O protection specific to the situation, ideally meaningfully before filing. These policies need to be with financially solid insurers who have a track record of paying claims. Also, directors and officers being sued in bankruptcy will want highly credentialed lawyers to defend them. So that's another thing to consider with respect to any policy you might be looking at. Finally, you're going to want a policy that is separate with respect to your Side A coverage. Combined policies could potentially be seized in bankruptcy as an asset of the corporation, putting directors either at risk or at least under some pressure. A second pitfall for directors relates to their compensation, which is usually significantly equity-based. Equity-based compensation doesn't work once a company has filed for bankruptcy, and court approval is required to change director compensation after a filing. As a result, boards should change their compensation programs before they file. This is usually not immediately transparent, so it can be done meaningfully before a filing. Employee compensation is also subject to bankruptcy limits and court approval after filing, so many boards make significant changes before filing as well. Finally, we should touch on director resignations. If the ship is going down, it may be tempting to bail. However, leaving will not erase a director's service on the board and will not protect a director from being investigated. It will, however, mean the director will not be part of the process or the deliberations following the filing. So in many cases, a hasty resignation is not the best choice either for the company or for the director.
Great. Well, thank you for listening to S&C Critical Insights. For more information about our practice, please visit us on the web at www.sulcrum.com.